Praise the Lord. Stand with me. You know what? We just practiced a song here a few minutes ago that says it's not about us, it's about Jesus. Is that what we're here today for? Are you really here today for Jesus? Are you here to hear from God? Are you here to hear His Word? As we confess this, let's remember that. And let's with our whole hearts this morning forget about ourselves. Remember, we must decrease, He must increase. Amen? We're never going to get anywhere with God if we stay in ourselves. Amen? We've got to get into Him. And then everything else follows, the blessings and all He has for us. Amen? Go ahead, Jonathan.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's the Word of God.
It's the Word of God.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
And I can do what it says I will do.
And I can do what it says I can do. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right. Now, the one thing you can count on from this church is that we're probably going to do some things different sometimes.
Amen.
Well, that makes it sound like what we're doing is not good, right?
Whatever it sounds like, God is into change, not the same old thing.
That's right. Amen.
So anybody that's comfortable with the same old thing, you're not comfortable in Christ Jesus. You're comfortable
right.
in something else.
That's right.
Now, the good and bad part. Can I give you a good and bad report about that? Now, this is the way the physical eyes see. Sometimes when things look a little down, you don't think it's God. And when it's real high, you think it is God. And then sometimes it's just the opposite.
That's right.
Sometimes when we're riding high, you better watch out the most, because that's when the devil can come. Right?
Right.
I don't know if you all are party animals, but every party that I was ever involved with, I had more temptation in the party than I did after the party. Come on, some of you can wake up by agreeing at least.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, will you come forward, please? Lord, once again, we make the declaration we love You with all of our hearts. And Lord, right now, from that love, we give back now just a small token, not only in obedience, Lord, but out of gratefulness. Out of a grateful heart and a thankful heart, Lord, we give to You now Your tithes and our offerings. And once again, Lord, we ask You to take them, Lord, multiply them, bless them, Lord, to meet the needs of Your kingdom, Lord, not only in this place, but all around the world, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver. We stand in Your word, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, that as we give, Lord, You give back to us. You promise, Lord, an abundance if we would give to You. Remind us always that when we give to You, Lord, You always give back. For that, we're grateful and give You praise and honor and glory forever. Amen.
Praise You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we'd spend more time praising, we wouldn't have to spend so much time praying. Because you would learn through practice that praise takes care of all the prayer. Come on, stay with me. Children, be blessed. Hallelujah. I know. It's exciting. What did you say? Okay, well, keep them praying. Maybe they can bring their parents to church. Hallelujah. All right. The time is long in tooth. Y'all know that phrase, long in tooth? Or is that just an old country thing y'all don't know about? Well, figure it out or ask me later. Let's go. Father, we want to not just feel You, not just know You, and not just hear from You. We want to have this Word, Your Word, rammed into our life this morning. If it's short, if it's long, according to Your will, so be it. But we hunger and thirst after You. You show up. You be the Word. You be the reason for living. You be the feed. And for this, we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right. For those of you that weren't here last week, we started a series. Do you remember what it was about? What did he say? It was a statement of faith. All right. Well, let me read to you. The first few statements of faith we covered. Number one, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. These are very abbreviated. Two, there is a hell, now and eternally. It was created for Satan and all of those that choose to rebel against God. It is real. Number three, the law of repentance is required for all. Without repentance, there is no salvation, no forgiveness, no future, no power, no truth, no change. Number four, an agreement between two based on a defined contract or law pledged under a seal is a covenant. Without covenant, there is no life. Let's keep moving. Number five, God is the creator of all things. God is the original maker of all things. That's what we covered last week, remember? Number six, today God created man for fellowship with Him. Man made sin and broke fellowship with God. God made provisions for restoration. All right, last week we covered some definitions. I'm going to hit them again, so let me not just review too much except in the prepared message. Last week we said that God created and made. He did not just do one or the other. We said that man is both created and made. You are a dual person. Your duality is very obvious, especially to yourself if you're trying to be a Christian and sometimes you don't meet up to your standards. There's a created being in you that's perfect. It was created in God's likeness and image. And then you are a made man that's made and being made in God's likeness and image. If you're seeking hard after God, you are being made in God's likeness and image. You are going, you're getting better and better from glory to glory. The definition of created is to make something from nothing. God took nothing and made something with His very word. The word make or made is to fabricate using something that's made from nothing. All right? What I see sitting before me today is the made part of the being. You think that your parents had something to do with that, and they didn't. Well, they had a little something to do with it, but not a lot. No matter, even every one of us, even though that every one of us are totally different, basically every one of us are the same. Our ears in the same place, eyes in the same place, fairly close facial features. You understand what I'm saying? And it all began from the hand of God taking dirt and forming in God's likeness and image. That's the made part of man. God created man and woman. They are created. He is the creator. God made and is making them in His likeness and image. He is the maker and we are the made. Some backup scripture right quick. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now here's the way I approach the Word. I hope you will follow me in this. When I read something out of the Bible, there's nothing else to be said. Come on, y'all start doing this. When I read you word from the Bible, it doesn't make any difference what else you've heard. It doesn't make any difference what else you've thought. Whatever scientists have thought, or what have they dreamed up, nightmared up, or whatever. When we read the Word, that is it. There's nothing else to be added. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That should shoot down every theory that comes from this point forward. That's it. As Jesus would say, it is finished. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it and created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Let me say it another way. God formed this earth for you and I to live on, for you and I to use up, not to love. If I catch you hugging a tree, I'm going to remind you of this scripture. You are to hug the Creator, not the created. If you're going to worship Mother Earth, you're messed up. Nowhere in the Bible is Mother Earth mentioned, so you're way out of line. You're following the wrong God. Earth was created for us, not the other way around. We were given dominion over the earth to rule and reign over it, not the other way around. The wind and the water is proven in the Word. It's not to rule over us. We have to rule over it. We're not to be afraid that we're going to run out of fuel. God made this earth with enough for the inhabitants. Don't worry about running out. If we burn up all the oil in the world, there'll be something else to take its place because God has a better design than scientists.
Amen.
All right. Genesis 2:3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What is that saying? That means you're given dominion over everything above and below and on this earth. And if you give something else dominion, you're out of order. If your dog or your cat or your house or your property or your lands is, it gets out of order. If it rules over you, you're out of order. And the thing that God made is now making itself out of order. The person that God created in you has lost control, and the made has taken control, which is what we'll see in Genesis 3. God gave man, the created, dominion to rule and to make from his creation and his made. You got to listen to me carefully because I'm going to keep saying these words and try to foul you up. That's why you have to work hard. Okay? I'll give you an example again. God created trees. Man didn't create trees. He warped them a little bit, has perverted them to do different things. But God created trees. Man makes lumber and houses out of trees. Because we have been given dominion over God's creation. Now, not this creation that's in here. This creation that we see. God created atoms. Man made reactors, atomic reactors, nuclear reactors, and bombs, of course. We got to blow something up just to be happy. Listen. Ezekiel 28:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Not only the created was made perfect, but the made was made perfect. I don't think I've ever been more secure in my life in this belief that when babies are born, they're born perfect. Their internal and external is made perfect because that's how God created. And not until iniquity is found in them are they imperfect. I had somebody argue with me the other day about that. They were telling me when babies die, they go to hell if they're not saved. I said, I don't think I want to serve the God you serve. I think I'll look for another. That would be unfair. This says, you were found perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. You got it? All right, let's move on. By the way, I want to remind you that God is no longer creating. That's why He rested on the seventh from His created and made. He gave man now dominion to make. From the beginning of time, the Creator has loved and longed for the created. And the created has hungered and thirsted for the Creator. It is natural and will continue in each individual until the created marries the true Creator or until the created yokes with a false Creator. You'll hunger and thirst. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm going to start talking about what happened between perfection and imperfection. Y'all ready to go there? Well, you've already gone there, so... And some of you have come a long ways back, so God created man and woman. He breathed into both of them the breath of life. And then He made man, and then He made woman from man. He did that for a purpose. He did not do that accidentally or as an afterthought. And He said of the made part of woman, I'm making you for man. All of you men just really love that, don't you? Yeah. Well, let me back up just a little bit. I said that the created will long for the Creator until he marries the Creator. So therefore, that makes man the bride. The one that it was created or formed both for God.
Amen.
So when man... When male man learns that they're created and formed for God, they'll fulfill husbandship. Got it? Okay. I don't have time to go all the way there. The created part of man seeks the Creator. The made part of man seeks the made. Everybody got that down, right? All right, then we have one more dynamic that comes into effect. And that is the made for the made. It is not illegal. It is not immoral. It is wrong. No. Nothing is wrong that God does. The made hungers for the made. The created hungers for the created. When we get that down, the two can walk together as one in agreement. We can be comfortable in desiring each other because we're in agreement about the primary things, which is I must desire God above the made. All right, let's go on. Man created sin. God did not create sin. I've heard theologists that will teach you that God created sin. Well, you might as well tell me He created cancer. He must be full of it because He gives enough of it away. God can only give what He has. He has no cancer. He has no sin. Man created sin. Sin is rebellion to God and His best for us. Sin is rebellion against God and against His best for us. That's what sin is. Let's don't define it any other way. Sin is not smoking, drinking, chewing, spitting, dancing, whatever else you've been told. That's not what sin is. Sin is rebellion to or against God and His best for you. All right. Originally, God did not want us to know about sin. He didn't want us to know about that. He gave us an option to know it or not know it, but then He gave us advice, don't even look. Don't even look in that direction or you'll die. We kind of missed it there. Genesis 3. I'm going to show you what happened. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 8. 1 through 6. There we go. Got something a little out of line this morning. Now, we got it back in there. Genesis 3, 1 through 8. Now the serpent... Are you going to read with me or are you going to listen? One of the two, but I want you to do one of the two. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Now, I may just stay here. This may be where we quit. I don't know. We'll continue next week. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. You notice that it did not say that Satan or the serpent was smarter than anything that was created? Cunning, more cunning than any beast that was made. You and I are not beasts. We were created at this time in perfection in God's likeness and image. Satan, the serpent, did not outsmart mankind. The serpent approached a sense. The only way he's got to get to us. We'll read it. I'll show you in a minute. He was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Are you sure that's what God said? Ever since this moment in time, I want to warn every husband in this room, every father, Satan has not changed his ways. The Bible warns us of about the enemy coming in the back door. Satan is a backdoor man. That's why he went and talked to the woman first, because he's a backdoor man. He's not man enough to come to the man first. He goes in the back door. He tries to weasel and connive and do anything wrong that he can in deception. And he didn't just say God didn't say it. He said, "Are you sure God said that?" What's to cause confusion? Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, let's look at this scripture. She had it down. Did you know she quoted that right? She had it perfect. She didn't make a mistake. She said, "God says I got the whole world I can eat from." Now, here's what God also said. Right in the middle of the whole world, right in the middle of this thing, there is something I'm not to touch, or it'll cause me to die. What's rough instructions, isn't it? Real rough. I can eat and grow fat all the days of my life and never run out except for one thing in the middle of the garden I can't touch. In the middle of the garden. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You're not going to die. You're not going to die." You know why it was easy for the woman to believe that? It was a true statement. At that moment, it was a true statement. Why? Because there was no death in the garden. Zilch. Zero. No sin means no death. Very simple statement that can be applied through the entire Bible. No sin, no death. So what the serpent was saying to the woman was, he had to be making it up. There's no such thing. God can't be telling you the truth. It doesn't exist. If God says it, it's real. Doesn't make any difference if we've seen it before. Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Can I tell you something else? There are many instances in the Bible where Satan tells the exact truth, and here's another one. He is not lying to this woman. Satan never tells you a total lie. Satan never tells you a total lie. He tells you a partial truth. And then we have to decide who we're going to act like. Our Father God, who tells us total truths. Are we going to act like good, bad businessmen, buyers, purchasers, sellers, where we tell a partial truth? So when the woman saw... Now look, very carefully here, listen. So when the woman saw... Now up to this point, she wasn't using her eyes. She was using what the Word of God, what God Himself had told her. And she was safe. Now she says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What caused her to rebel against God, to sin? She saw that the tree was good for food. God never told her that the food was bad. He didn't say, "Don't eat that fruit, it'll taste bad." He said, "Don't eat it, it'll cause you to die." That's one. Number two, it was pleasant to the eyes. It might have been the best looking fruit in the whole forest. But the instruction from the wise one said, don't touch it. Number three, it was desirable. It was desirable. It was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable. I don't know if you want to take this, pull it out of the Bible for a second, but you can pin that on an awful lot of stuff. And it might not be your husband or wife. It might be somebody else's husband or wife. It might not be your money. It might be somebody else's money. Car. Tools. You hear what I'm saying? The temptation is the same. God says, I'll give you the whole world, but I won't give you somebody else's wife. And I'm not asking you if it's good, smells good, tastes good, looks good. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, don't touch it. She ate. She gave it to her husband. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Isn't that a strange statement? I just thought we read that she said with her eyes she saw this. Now it says both of their eyes were opened. Can I tell you, before you were saved, you saw with the same eyes as the ones you saw after you were saved, and yet your eyes were opened. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to me. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew. Every time you see the word K-N-E-W in the Bible, it means intimate contact. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Why did they need coverings, people? Because they lost theirs. God was their total covering. God was their total provision. God was their air. God was their comfort. God was their peace, their food. Are you hearing me? He was everything they needed. And when they took of something that He said, don't touch, they lost that. Their eyes were open to the fact that they lost that. And here's all of us now. The minute we find out we shoot up, we try to cover our own hinies. We get out of sorts with God, we'll make excuses why we're out of sorts with God. We don't like the way things are going, we'll make up reasons why we have the right to not like the way things are going. Instead of remembering that God has given us the entire earth. All we got to do is not touch certain things. Too simple. Now listen to this. And they heard the sound of the presence of God. They heard the sound of the presence of God. They didn't see Him. They didn't hear Him. They heard His presence. Up until then, they walked with Him hand in hand in the cool of the day, fellowshipping. And now they could just hear Him. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The very thing that God created for them to provide for them, they hide behind to stay away from Him. Boy, I got some very specific things I'd like to bring out to you. Whew. If you have a car wreck, you can hide behind the car wreck and stay away from God. You know what I'm saying? If I've got a sickness or disease in my body, rather than running to that God and saying, oh man, I've missed it. Something is wrong in here. I need You, God. We say, I'm a little mad at You because of this thing. The very thing that Adam and Eve, that they did, that should have caused them to run into the presence of God, they hid from it. Let me say it another way. I don't think I've gotten through with you, to you yet. If we have sinned, if we have done wrong, if something wrong is going on, that very thing should cause us to run to God, not hide from Him. No excuses. I don't care what sour puss you got in your mouth right now, whatever bad idea you got, run to Him, don't hide from Him. God's provision is not something that you can hide behind. You went through a terrible car wreck and you're sitting here because of the provision of God. You're alive and healthy because of the provision of God. Don't hide behind it. Man, just run and thank God for it. And watch, maybe He'll open your eyes to reveal the good part of this. I don't know yet. I guarantee He will. I just don't know when. I know it sounds a little crazy. Get out of the car wreck and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you know what? That's what true people would do. Even when a woman's got a brain tumor and she knows she's going to die, or that's what they tell her and she's believing it, she says, I'm great. I'll not hide behind this thing to hide from God. I'm going to stand right out in front and say, praise God. To be absent here is to be present with the Father. What have I got to lose? You can't kill a dead man. Genesis 3, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now, before we just jump down the women's throat and say, I ain't never listening to you again. Why don't we just say this, that God says that about every voice that we heed other than His. Because you have heeded another voice and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed. Now listen to this. It's very important to our understanding of what happened. What was Adam and Eve made out of? Dust of the earth. Now let's go on. Because you've done this, cursed is the ground for your sake. Cursed is the ground because of what you've done. What was Adam and Eve made out of? Ground, dirt, dust of the earth, right? Cursed is that dirt. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, till you return to where you came from. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam, now listen to this, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He didn't go out and kill animals and rip their skin off and make them a skin coat. He made skin for the first time. If you want to know what happened, skin is sin. Skin is sin. Or it's the evidence of. When your skin changes, you don't have to worry about sin anymore. Remember what I told you last week? Skin's going to hell. It's going to last forever. Because skin is the only way that pain can get into the spirit man. Remember I told you that? Without flesh, your flesh can't be touched. I mean, your spirit man can't be touched. There's no pain. There's no hot. There's no cold. There's nothing that can affect the spirit man. So without the skin, there's no punishment. The presence of God is the reward for Adam and Eve, Stan and Connie. Right? We don't need skin to enjoy the presence of God. In fact, it gets in the way. Okay, as long as we're on the same track here. He made skin for them. The 22nd verse. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life." Just remember, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil are not the same. Don't get them confused. If I don't do something in their sin state, they will live forever. Now, can I tell you something, what God's saying right here? He never intended man to go to hell. Never, ever intended man to go to hell, and here's the proof. I've got to lock them out of the garden, because if I let them go their way now, they'll eat the tree of life, and they'll live in damnation for eternity. And God had a better plan. That was not His plan for man. That was His plan for Satan and him alone. His plan was for us to never do anything against God and for Satan. You've got to understand the heart of God. He don't want anybody to go to hell. Ever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. Now listen carefully. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God helped me with this one time. Set me free. What is the flame and what is the sword? There you go. The flame and the sword. A flaming sword. And it doesn't say to block the way. It says guard the way to the tree of life. So ever since sin, even though we're locked out of an eternal existence until the skin is gone, or let's just put it this way, our container is locked out of eternity, of the eternal walk with God. There is a flame and a sword that's convincing us every moment of every day to go right back to that garden where God is. Drawing you back. Directing you back. Why? Because God is more interested in your eternity than you are. God is more in love with you than you are. God is more in love with your wife and your children than you are. He's more concerned about where they spend eternity than we are. And He works harder than we do to get us back. All right. Now we're back on track there. Adam and Eve were in a perfect walk with God. They sinned. I'm going to bring this to a close and we'll catch up with the rest of it later. I want you to get the big picture. I don't want to leave you right here. I want a bigger picture to be shown. God did not leave them locked out of the garden without a way back. All He said was, man, it's hard for me to show you all this. I'll prove it to you next week if you'll come back and listen to me. All we have to do, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again, is that the created person in you must, let me be harsh, must kill the maid. Now, last week I said it must rule over it. Now I'm going to be a little harsher. I'm going to have to tell you that you're going to have to put to death the maid. And I'll show you in Scripture where that maid can be regenerated by God. Okay? But for simplicity's sake, I'm going to tell you that when I, the created, take dominion over the maid, I can return back to the garden and fellowship with Him in the cool of the day for eternity. Starting now. Not starting in a word called rapture, which is not in the Bible. Heaven begins the day that you meet, that you marry God, that you say, I'm yours and I'm not the maid's, I'm yours. I'm a created that belongs to the Creator. I'm a maid that belongs to the Maker. But I'm not a maid that belongs to the maid. I make my flesh bow. Every knee will bow. Y'all know that Scripture, don't you? Well, it's got to start now. And the created one, the God in you, must force the made one to bow and say, I'm not God. This is not God. There is a God and I bow to that. And when it doesn't want to, it's called a sacrifice of praise. You make it bow. And when you don't feel like it, you make it open its mouth and say, praise God anyway. And when you've sinned, and all have sinned, the Bible says, and when you find that out, You're not just locked out of the presence of God forever. You're locked out until you find your way back. Now, find your way back. That's a long search. No. God says He seeks after you. The Holy Spirit comes after you. And it's not your idea, it's His. What is His idea? Religion has been so, church is so shallow. It's so shallow. God's idea is not to get a bride for a never day, a rapture day, a second coming day. That's not God's idea. God wants fellowship now, not then. And He wants to bring us back now. He wants to fill us with something that just gets stronger and stronger over flesh. And so that we don't have trouble with stealing and lying and cheating anymore. That the God in me now becomes the Creator again and regenerates the maid that fell, the dust that's dirty, that's full of sin. Now the long part of this is, the far out there is, that Jesus is going to return when this maid starts taking dominion over this maid. And it says that we rule and reign in the midst of our enemies. It doesn't say that there aren't any more enemies. It says that we rule and reign in the midst of our enemies. That means that there's no enemy or weapon that's ever been formed against us that can prosper once God is in us. That's heaven now. Heaven is being able to look in my children's eyes and telling them the truth. Giving them hope that the world can't give. That's heaven. To look in my friends and family's eyes when they're in trouble and tell you that there's a hope far beyond my advice. I offer you something greater than that. Man, for those that have been walking with God for a while, where would you be without God? It's a thought that you won't even allow to go through your mind. It's so scary. I got a fleeting moment to minister to my son-in-law last night. He called up on the phone. He's in the military. And he was down. Actually, my wife called and said, "Would you talk to this husband of mine?" That's the way it really happened. Which that gives her some wisdom too. And I said, "Rob, what's wrong?" "They fired me." I said, "Who fired you? You're in the military. You can't get fired." He said, "They fired me from being a team leader." Team leader. I said, "Well, who cares? What does your wife say? Does she still love you?" "Well, yeah." "How about your daughter? She still love you?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Can I tell you what's wrong, Rob?" I said, "I'm not going to ask you, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You were made a team leader." Now listen to me, husbands especially, but everybody has to rule and reign over your body, your own body. I said, "You were given a team leader's position. That means you literally hold the lives of other men in your hands. And you tried to do the work for them. You tried to cover them instead of letting the stuff slide right on down. Your job is not to cover in the way that most people think. You can't take a squad or a platoon of men and make them shine. You have to look at them. You're my platoon now. What I'm going to do is I say inspection first thing in the morning. And if you don't meet up to what I said you've got to meet up to, I'm going to bust you." Why? Why must I say that? Because the guy ahead of me said it to me. And if I don't say it to you, I'm going to get fired. You like that theology? How many of you believe you're in God's army? Well, it comes with all the ramifications. Military ain't sweet. It's just good. Now, I said, "You know that's why you got busted, right? You got fired." I said, "But what you need to know is the next time you're given that opportunity, you better lay on that you have control over. You better get tough with it. Grow up, boy. If you're going to rule, you got to get tough." Because God invented the drill sergeant. He invented the special loving father. He invented the soft heart, but He also invented the drill sergeant. Now I'm going to tell you, here's the last thing I told him. And he understood what I said. I didn't have to tell him twice. He understood he had been too soft on his men. I said, "You'll get another chance and you'll do it right." But I said, "Let me tell you what you don't get a second chance on. Your children. You don't get a second chance on your children." I said, "Your daughter loves you and you love her very much. Are you trying to do her work for her? Or are you making her do her own?" How much more so, God? How many of you wake up every morning asking for God to cover you instead of make you do what you're supposed to do? Y'all got all kinds of different looks on your faces. Some smiles, some whoopee, some's oh me. We need to know. I said at the beginning, I'm going to say it to you now. God's will for us is good. What you don't want to go into battle with, and I told Rob this, I said, you don't want to go into battle with a bunch of men where you've been doing their work for them. Because they're going to get themselves killed and you too. And so sometimes when I say something to you or you or you or you or anybody else that sounds a little harsh, it's not harsh enough. It's not harsh enough. How would God say it to you? If you're blubbering and moaning and groaning about things that are probably for your good anyway, what do you think His response would be? Get over it. Get over it. Y'all know that song, don't you? I'm telling you that God the Father, God the Drill Sergeant, God the Loving One is going to tell us, why do you think God is trying to tell you how to answer? Do you think He's such a micromanager that He doesn't have anything else to do but to tell her to have a different answer? No, He's not a micromanager. He's telling you something that will give you a response or a return or a harvest far beyond anything that you've ever thought or asked. He's found something that will change your life. Now all you got to do is listen. Well, what did she say? She said, well, he's been after me and I guess I'm going to have to do it. Is that what you said? That's the drill sergeant. The drill sergeants never change their rules. They make you fit their rules. Well, is that the picture you want me to see of God? Partially, yes. Partially, yes. When He wrote the Ten Commandments, they weren't the Ten Suggestions. Why? Because He needed somebody to obey Him? No, man, you missed it. He loves you so much that He gave you 10 precious formulas for success. Magnificent, mighty formulas that will overtake the entire earth if you'll follow them. So when drill sergeant speaks, it's for your good. It's to save your life. It's not so that you'll salute him, because you don't even salute drill sergeants. You just obey them. Right? I thank God that He's more faithful than I am. That was not a good response. You need to be in line with me. If we're going to walk together, we need to agree, and you need to do that openly sometimes. I thank God that He's more faithful than I am. And even when I fail, even when I fail to pay attention or obey, He doesn't quit. He just keeps coming back until we either tell Him to go to blazes or we say, yes, drill sergeant. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not because I have to, because I realize that that is what's best for not only me, for my family, for the world. Mike, I'll bet you've trained a few guys in your business. What happens if they bend the rules in your business? But there's usually some evidence, isn't there? Yeah. I know that he deals heavily in electrical work. And I know that every time I've bent the rules messing with electricity, there's signs and wonders that follow. I've got several pliers and screwdrivers to prove that. Yeah, there was a flaming sword saying, don't do that. Why? Because Mike wants to be the big god over his company? No, because there's some basic rules that you got to follow. I don't even think he made them up. I think he learned them. In fact, I know that. I know they were there before he was there. Why can't we just accept that fact about God, that He's not trying to be some big, overpowering, egotistical maniac trying to get us to bow, that there are rules that we follow? By the way, I said that sin was created by man. No, it was made by man. Actually, it was created by man. I never thought about that. There wasn't any sin before man took nothing and made something. We did create something. Aren't we proud? But now we can eliminate that. Now I'm going to go into that provision next week. How that by the provision that God created and made for us, we can go back and undo what we've done. The only place in our life we can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Sorry, I got about half through my message, but that's we need to quit. Y'all stand with me. Y'all stand with me. Stand on the inside too. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. I'm excited to be able to stand in front of you today and with the help of God, explain to you what happened to us back then. And then next Sunday, I'm going to explain what happened to us a little further down the line. But in the meantime, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. I have no accident, no calamity, no natural or unnatural disaster. I have nothing to fear. Does everybody in here believe that God cares for them? Does everybody in here care for God? If not, it's time to get that way. Why? Well, if I can't explain it to you any other way, it's just better for you and your pocketbook. Everybody thinks that Christians are the ones that believe that if you give to God, you'll be given. You'll be blessed, and that's not true. It applies to saint and sinner alike. You stay with one woman all your life, and your life is going to be longer and better. The Ten Commandments apply to everybody. If you obey them, they work. They profit you. But you know what? We can expect anywhere from a 7 to 100-fold return on the law when we obey God and not just the law. I.e., let me show you an example. The Bible says that if you tithe, that's good. But if you give with a joyful heart, man will run you down. Blessings will overtake you. Either way, you're going to do good. One way is better than the other. Which one is better for you? You choose. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. And God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, said, I recommend that you choose life. Now, practical application. You can get up and the snow can be falling and it'd be cloudy. And you can say, oh, the snow is falling and it's cloudy. And you're factually correct. Or you can get up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And now you are truthfully correct. You can have a car accident and you can say, woe is me, woe is me. Why did this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? Well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you were driving. Okay. Just remember, you were driving. I'm going to tell you what God did to you. And it's not all evidence yet. He protected you and He preserved you. That's what God did to you and for you. Now, if you will believe that there's profit in everything that happens, then the best is yet to come. And when somebody calls on the phone and says, how are you doing? That's right. You can quote the scripture that says this. It is so good that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Isn't that what God says to you? If I told you what was to come, if I were to tell you what was to come, you wouldn't believe it anyway. So I'm not going to tell you. You just got to trust me. I'm telling you, I can already see some heaven in your faces, and you need to keep it there. Yeah. Heaven begins the day that you meet God. It doesn't begin at the third coming of Jesus Christ. Right. Or the second. It comes at the first coming. That's when He visits you. Yeah. That's the only thing that you care about, because the Bible says that those that meet, that it's appointed unto man once to die. And that means the time when you take dominion over your flesh, you give yourself to Christ Jesus, your flesh dies. At that point, you will not see judgment. And it also says you will not see no more death. So what do you care about the second coming? You're not going to see it anyway. You're just going to be caught up. That's what the Bible says. What does caught up mean? We'll take off running and I'll catch you. You won't see me coming. I'll just catch you. That's what we need to be looking for, the hand that's going to catch us up. Up until that, take no thought for tomorrow, including eternity, rapture. Take no thought for that. I've got that taken care of, the Bible says. Here's what you need to worry about today. Now is the time of salvation. Today. Not only to the created, not only to the made, but to that that you've been given dominion over. All hearts clear? Anybody in here need to talk to Jesus a little bit? You don't have to make an appointment. He made it already. How many of you know that God makes an appointment for you every moment of every day? And if you don't show up, you miss the appointment. That's cool. God can do that. I can't, but He can and does. Once again, all hearts clear. We'll be happy to pray with anybody that needs to be prayed with. Agree. Son-in-law's father. Is he a Christian? Well, if you get a chance, ask him. that might be important for a long time. When you go to visit somebody that needs a visit, make sure you get first things first. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? I told you once, twice, three, four, five times, whatever, but I stood behind a counter one time in retail sales, and a guy walked in, and he had a cry on his face and a cry on his heart, and I was too busy for him because I was making money. And he went straight from my store to his house and committed suicide. And God asked me what I was busy about. What business did you place before this man's eternity? Now, I'm not trying to put the weight of everybody's eternity on my shoulders or yours, but God can take what was meant for bad and turn it to good, and He did. He used that for me so that I wouldn't get too busy to listen anymore. Johnny was in my office there recently, and he kind of teared up a little bit, and he apologized about that. And I reached over and I grabbed my real business card, which was the preacher's card, which is the minister's card, and I handed it to him. I said, that's my main interest anyway, not this other stuff. This other stuff is just, you know, foo-foo. The Bible commands me to leave an inheritance for my children, so I can do that as a sideline. They don't have to be my primary interest. My primary interest is their true inheritance, eternity, life with Christ. Father, You've heard the confession of the hearts today, that they're all ready to meet You now. If there be one in this place that's not, Holy Spirit of the living God, don't let them leave here until they know they're ready. We're not predicting death. We don't want to do that. But we are predicting that one day there will be a final breath, and after that, it will be eternity. We want to walk with everyone in this place for eternity. Let hearts be clear, truly clear here this morning. Now we ask You, Lord, that the message that You brought, that it go home to the heart, create that seed that bring forth that harvest for the kingdom of the living God to expand, to grow, to make better. Let not one minute be wasted this morning, but let it all turn out to be glory to You, for You, with You. And for that we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees, please say amen. Please help us put away this morning as we have to do that. Otherwise, shake hands with somebody that you haven't met. Be friendly.